Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Rue.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
Why would she puke?
It would be hilarious if she went in space.
Oh, in space.
And she was singing the... like... I was born as... I think that would be amazing.
Oh, God. Because it would flow.
Hi everyone, welcome to Radio Dale number 46.
This week in music history, which Dale speaking employee shares a birthday with Neil Young?
This week on the charts, we look at Arcade Fire's new album and Lorde versus Miley Cyrus.
This week's campus report, a reprise of Arcade Fire.
This week's music, we have Crash Karma's Man on Trial.
And in part two, Christmas songs on the radio and breaking them down.
And tearing them apart.
And f***ing setting them on
and
fire.
And destroying
them. Breaking it all down, I can say that.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit nicer.
Yeah.
And in part two, Christmas songs on the radio and breaking it all down.
Tearing it all down.
I don't remember. My brain hurts.
I think that makes sense.
There's something that's in my head right now.
And now it's time for This Week in Music History, and I'm going to start it off with November 7th, 1943. Born on this day, Joni Mitchell, Roberta Anderson. Is that her real name?
Wow, I didn't realize it.
Singer, songwriter, 1970 UK number 11 single with Big Yellow Taxi. Big Paradise, put up a parking lot.
Do-da-ba-ba.
1974 US number 7 single, Help Me. She wrote Both Sides Now, which was a hit for Judy Collins, and Carly Rae Jepsen did a cover of it.
Did she?
And Woodstock, a hit for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Matthews, Southern Comfort. So the Woodstock song was by Joni Mitchell. She paints now.
Now she paints.
Enjoy, and Joni. Does CBC things.
But she's a Scorpio. Like, she's artistic like that.
I guess so.
Yeah. November 8th, 2007, the number one single is Apologize by Timbaland/Bon Republic.
November 9th, 1967, the first issue of Rolling Stone magazine was published in San Francisco.
Wow.
It featured a photo of John Lennon on the cover, dressed in army fatigues while acting in his recent film, How I Won the War. And the first issue had a free roach clip to hold a marijuana joint.
Oh. Wow.
The name of the magazine was compiled from three significant sources: the Muddy Waters song, the first rock and roll record by Bob Dylan, and the Rolling Stones.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that there were three. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go. Now you know the rest of the story. On November 10th, 1973, Elton John started an 8-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, the singer's third U.S. number one album. It had the working titles of Vodka and Tonics and Silent Movies, Talking Pictures. It's his best-selling studio album with worldwide sales of over 15 million copies. It's also really easy to find in dollar bins at vinyl.
Because
so many people bought it.
Like, right.
Lots of copies. What do you think is the last album that was at number one for, like, longer than a month? Because I can't think of anything.
I have no idea, but I'm sure there's got to be...
something. Maybe we'll look that up.
Something massive, but like even the biggest albums today don't last.
Yeah.
Scary.
We should look that up. See what was the last thing since... What was the last one since the Elton John album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, that was on the number one for, say, 10 weeks or around 10 weeks?
Yeah.
Making a note.
That's interesting. November 11th. That's also Remembrance Day. So, can we count In Flanders Fields by John McRae? We should see if someone's done a song of that.
Wow, that's interesting.
I'm sure, yeah.
There's someone must have.
Yeah.
Anyway, in pop culture, on November 11th in 1999, Britney Spears won 4 MTV Awards, Best Female Singer, Best Pop Act, Best Song for Hit Me Baby One More Time, and Best Breakthrough Artist.
Hmm.
And the best rock act went to The Offspring. The best male act, Will Smith, and Bono won the Free Your Mind Award.
So that kind of gives you a funny little perspective, because Britney Spears winning best female singer, and we heard the isolated vocals of her at a concert, performing at a concert around that time, and it was terrifying.
Not so much a singer.
No.
She loved me, this Hollywood girl.
We've always known this, but...
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway. November 12th, also Rue's birthday.
No!
But not on this year.
No.
November 12th, 1945. No. Born on this day, Neil Young.
Yay! Your birthday babes!
So Rue shares a birthday with Neil.
Yes, I do.
Mr. Young.
Mr. Young.
Mr. Young,
not old. To call him.
Neil old.
Neil always young.
I like that.
Real young.
November 13th, 2004, rap artist Old Dirty Bastard collapsed and died at a Manhattan recording studio in New York, age 35. A spokesman for his record company said the rapper had complained of chest pains and was dead by the time paramedics reached him. ODB was a founding member of the Wu-Tang Clan in the early 1990s.
Welcome to This Week on the Charts. And this week, I am going to take another look at the album charts and some interesting things I found. The first is Arcade Fire's brand new album called Reflector. They released it last week. It debuted at number one in Canada and in the US this week on the Billboard charts. In the US, the album sold 140,000 copies in the first week, and in Canada it sold 49,000 copies in the first week. That may sound like a complete failure in Canada, but it is not. It actually is very good, seeing how the album in the second place, or in the second spot, is several thousand below that number, and it's actually more, or it's close, it's actually more than what Katy Perry sold in her first week last week. So put that into perspective for you. So, fun fact, in the US, this is the band's second number one album. The last one was the 2010 album, The Suburbs. But however, the interesting point here is that this record, or the last record, started with a slightly larger figure in the first week at 156,000 sold in the first week. So 140,000 for Reflector, 156 for The Suburbs. Rue made a good point today where he said, you know, we pointed that out to each other, but he said, you know, album sales have been dropping steadily since 2010. So either that could be a bad sign, or that can just be a sign of the times. So stepping away from Arcade Fire, another really cool thing that I picked up on, or not even cool, but something I thought was interesting, and I titled this Lorde versus Miley Cyrus. So Miley Cyrus has been on the album chart now for 4 weeks. She's currently sitting, and this is in Canada, she is sitting at number 14 on the album chart. Overall, she has sold 43,000 copies of her album. Lorde, in Canada, has been on the album chart for 5 weeks, is sitting at number 5 currently, and has sold 46,000 copies so far. So that kind of gives you an idea of longevity. And, for example, Miley Cyrus, we all know what her PR machines put into play when it came to promoting her music and her whole I'm a new woman thing. And with Lorde, where to me it seemed a little more natural, her song just came out, people started to like it, people shared it, radio started to play it. So, and then you have Miley Cyrus, in my opinion, with crappy music. It's just about the hype. So, hype gets you to a number one, but you drop off really fast, and substance and good music and word of mouth can keep you, you know, with more sales and sitting in a top spot in the charts, or a high spot in the charts. So that's interesting facts from the album charts this week.
Hey everyone, so now it's time for your campus report. Now that Amber has just touched on the number one album For sales this week in Canada, which is Arcade Fire's Reflector. It's no surprise that Arcade Fire's Reflector is number one on the campus radio charts this week. And something that's kind of funny, I thought, was as I was walking through one of the streets that runs through U of T today, there is a huge, like, Reflector emblem painted on the cement, which I just thought was, like, very ironic considering it's number one at campus and they had that on a campus, which you actually kind of think would not be allowed because universities aren't really supposed to allow like marketing to penetrate the campus. But oh well, good for Arcade Fire and good that people are liking it. So number two on the Earshot charts this week is Shad with Flying Colors. Number three is Bazia Balat, Tall Tall Shadows. Number four, Said the Whale Hawaii. And number five, The Sadies, Internal Sounds. And that's all for this week.
This week we have a new single from our friends in Crash Karma, and if you need a reminder of who Crash Karma is, Crash Karma is a Canadian band or a Canadian supergroup made up of Edwin, formerly of I Mother Earth, Mike Turner, formerly of Our Lady Peace, Jeff Burrows of The Tea Party, and Amir Epstein of formerly of Zygote. These guys got together and we've worked with them on their last album. And on this new album, Rock Music Deluxe, we released their top 10 single tomorrow. And now it's time for their brand new single, which just came out this week. It's called Man on Trial, and here it is.
Away. It's not
My
clearly we're experts.
You're experts. My anecdote is that I remember when I was a fan of New Kids on the Block and they released their Christmas album, which I can't even remember the name of it anymore. My friend bought it and I had no interest in buying it because I'm like, why would you buy a Christmas album?
F- Christmas.
Whoa, I did not say that, Amber.
That's what you just said.
I said, why would you buy a Christmas album when you could buy one of their other albums that makes sense year round?
Oh, you God, you're like such a time Scrooge. Sensitive.
Yeah. It's not even Scrooge. It's
just, you are such a Scrooge.
Do you listen to Christmas albums in July?
Oh, why would you buy it in July?
Bad investment then.
Did they want something it you can July?
Listen to? No. I'm saying, would you listen
but
to
every
it?
Every holiday season, you bring it back out.
Yeah, it's
really. And listen to it for a week or two?
A week or two?
A month or more.
Yeah.
You guys would listen to the New Kids on the Block Christmas album for a month.
Do you realize how much I listen to Boney M? Do you realize?
I do not realize how much you listen
Christmas
to Boney M.
Christmas season, Elvis and Boney M.
Really? I listen to the Hanson Christmas CD every day in December.
I stand corrected.
You are wrong.
But I saved $20. Because back then, that's what you'd spend on an album like
but
that.
But we had $20 worth of happiness and more. So we actually...
We have $20 filled with memories.
I spent my time with my family and my dogs, not with Boney M. So
Boney
enjoy
M
your Boney
me
M
me and my family
memories.
And my dogs together.
Without Boney M, we fought.
Without Boney M, I'd have no family. What?
Anyways, that's a great way to start off part two of the podcast, where we are going to be talking about Christmas singles, radio, and Christmas music.
It's happening now.
Right now.
It's the first week of November, and we're into it.
The day after, not even the day after, before Halloween,
yep.
There were stations in the U.S. playing Christmas music.
Well, and how many times today have we talked about an artist bringing us Christmas music? I can think of at least two.
Yeah.
There may be more
than
two.
And we've also released two Christmas
Already.
Singles this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you have it. If you're an artist and you want to release a Christmas single, and I've written a blog about this recently...
Mm.
About the timing, and we also touched on this last year in the previous podcast, where when you're an artist and you want to record or release a Christmas single and take it to radio, you have to have it done and a deal signed by October.
Yeah.
You have to have your plan already by October, because there were singles going out before the last week of October to radio stations, as well as albums were released in October.
Yeah, lots of the biggest albums, actually. There are new albums by Leona Lewis, Kelly Clarkson, Mary J. Blige, and Trace Adkins, and they were all released either in September or in October.
Hmm.
Yikes.
Because we know record labels like to get their sales up for the last quarter by releasing
Christmas albums.
But... just everyone should really read Amber's blog about how early you have to do things. But I was thinking, we had an artist last year who had a killer Christmas song and gave it to us literally a week before Christmas. And the song was so fantastic, but there was nothing that could be done.
And this was an artist that had familiarity as well on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Already had a single out that year. So the chances of getting played are even better.
She had a great shot.
But it was just too late.
Yeah.
So no matter where you are, you could be Michael Bublé. You probably will have very hard chances of charting with a Christmas single if you release it the week before Christmas. So.
Well, because most people are not working.
They're not working.
They're checked out or they're... Yeah.
Radio people are gone pretty much. Not gone, but they've shut down their playlists the last couple of weeks of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And they work ahead. So they're scheduling all of their Christmas stuff weeks in advance because they don't even want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's time consuming and there are just so many Christmas songs. The one question I wanted to bring up to the group is, or just a rhetorical question, covers or originals when it comes to Christmas songs. When I speak to stations, there's no answer for that. It's, some stations want covers because it's familiar to their audience and it's easier, where other stations say they have too many covers. Yeah. Everybody covers Jingle Bells or Jingle Bell Rock, but original will be more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, as a music fan, what do you find more interesting?
I think that if you have your own original song as long as you try to make it something that's familiar. So make it something that someone can sing along to really easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then it feels like it's more familiar. So the new Leona Lewis song I really like. That's coming out this year. It's called One More Night. And I've listened to it twice, but I feel like it could be a song that I'm definitely going to hear in the future played again.
Mm-hmm.
It is really interesting debating it. I think that you have greater chances if you're an unknown artist to do a cover, but it's hard to pick one that hasn't been done before.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And then if you go too far out, would it be, you know, would people get scared off if you do one that's too obscure? Well, or if you change it up too much?
It's like that Maybe This Christmas series I used to release. There was Maybe This Christmas, Maybe This Christmas 2, and Maybe This Christmas Tree. They were mostly Canadian artists, but they had some Americans as well. And they did some really weird covers, like really weird twists on covers.
Yeah.
They did Chantal Kraviachuk and Avril Lavigne did a cover of Oh Holy Night that was really depressing. Like really depressing sounding, but it's one of my favorites just because it was so out there.
Right.
And I think if you do a cover, more likely people will catch the song, because when you're looking for songs, you'll find it. But I respect a person who's done an original, because
I do too.
They're throwing something into the canon, and if it doesn't take, whatever. There's an artist, Matt Ebel, who's sort of one of those online nerdy artists. He did a Christmas song that was from like a jail cell on an alien planet. It was from the perspective, it's Christmas there kind of a thing. But it sounded like a regular Christmas song, because he was singing about like, I wish I was back home where it was all snowy and stuff, and like how the traditions had changed where he is. So I don't know, it was a neat twist.
Yeah.
And definitely tapped into like a whole different
group
of people who would be interested in that kind of music.
Exactly.
I also feel like it would probably almost be easier for someone to write a Christmas song than a regular song, because you sort of have all the ingredients there. You have the themes, what to talk about, add some jingle bells.
Yeah, if you just add bells, it becomes a Christmas song.
It becomes a Christmas song.
A lot of them have to do with like your loved one on Christmas or your family or being away from, you know, your family, or like those seem to be a lot of themes, because that's that time of year where it's your loved ones, right?
Yep.
So whether it's your significant other or your family or whatever.
Yeah.
For me personally, like when I listen to the radio, sometimes I cringe with covers, because I like to stick to the classics. Like I like Bing Crosby, like I like Elvis and everything. Like those are my go-to. If I want to hear Blue Christmas, I want to hear Elvis do it.
Mm.
I don't want to hear Celine Dion do it. I don't want to hear anyone else do it.
Yeah.
So when I hear originals, I enjoy those a lot.
Yeah.
But like India said, when you're a new artist and you're getting introduced to a station, it's, you know, it's a gamble. You know, doing a cover could definitely help you. It'll get you in the door a little more. But then again, you could have an original that will just completely blow them away, like we've had in the past with Ali and Theo.
Yeah.
So, but then the ones that we did really well with that I really liked that was not a traditional song was that Ali and Theo did a cover of The Pretenders 2000 Miles. And I didn't even like know that song, and then all of a sudden I hear it all the time on CHFI and stuff. But that's so different than any other, like, I did a remake of.
Yeah.
There was a really bunch of Christmas songs by rockers, I guess people that would be considered rock.
Yeah.
You had The Pretenders, you had Bryan Adams' Christmas Time.
Yes.
And you had songs like that. You two did one, didn't they?
Yes, Baby Please Come Home.
That's right, Baby Please Come Home. Like, they have all those songs that are really cool that seem to come out, I guess, in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Maybe mid to late 80s, early 90s. And it seemed that rock was where you got new Christmas music. That kind of disappeared. Like, that's where you get new songs that actually entered into the canon, and people were like, I love this new Christmas song. I guess Joni Mitchell did The River, that song, years and years ago. Mm-hmm. So it seems that Christmas music passes from genre to genre.
Yeah.
Who's going to actually write it? But, like, I don't even know where the new songs are coming anymore.
Well, I know, like, I think Coldplay did one last year. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they did one last year. But we had a discussion with a group earlier today, a rock group, about Christmas singles.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a band that wants to release one and kind of just put it out to the masses, and your style is rock or alternative rock or whatever, so be it. Go for it. Do it. It's content. It's something else to sell. Yeah. But if you're looking
touring at Christmas
time.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. But if you're looking for airplay in Canada specifically on radio, then don't make it for that reason.
Yeah.
Because they're going to play the Coldplay one maybe once every couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
it's not going to do much other than that. Though, like I said earlier today, you'll hear No Doubt's Oi to the World and a few other things, but you're not, they're not going to dedicate a certain amount of their airplay to Christmas singles like AC Radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like that's what we were saying, like, it's moving across. So country also has really just, like, I don't know if the word is embraced because I haven't worked in the country world long enough, but they embrace the Christmas stuff.
Randy Travis's Christmas special out there, and when I think of Christmas specials, I think of, like, sort of folksy people, so it makes that sense that it would be big in the country.
Yeah. No, for sure. So, and then I guess kind of when I said it earlier, like, we discussed this somewhat parts of this topic last year in a podcast, but we thought it'd be really important to bring it up again.
Mm.
But is the strategy behind putting out a Christmas single.
Mm.
So if you're an artist and you have a Christmas single, what have you thought about what you're going to do after that or before that? So if you're a brand new artist and you want to release your Christmas single, and you have other music that you'd like to release, when are you planning to release it?
Because
if you're not, if you're just going to release a Christmas single and say, hey, AC Radio, here I am, get to know me, they listen to your Christmas single, they play it, or they don't, if you're not going to follow up with anything right after that, then what's the point of wasting your time and your resources of dumping out a single like that that's going to get played for a few weeks, and then they never hear from you again? So what's really important behind this is a strategy. So make sure you, you time or line this up, a Christmas single with a new release you have coming in January or February.
Yeah.
So that the station gets to know you, or at least your name gets in there, so there's familiarity immediately. Or you release stuff earlier that year. You know, you release a single in June to AC Radio and it does whatever it does. Then you can follow up with a Christmas single after that.
And then it keeps you fresh.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing it as, I wrote a Christmas song, I should probably push it out there. See it as actually part of your plan.
Yeah, the amount of submissions we get of, oh, I have a Christmas song. Do you plan on doing anything here? Do you plan on following up? No? Mm-hmm. Then there's no point. So that's just something to keep in mind, I think, and is important because radio is...
And we shouldn't forget stuff like blogs and websites. If you're going to have a Christmas song and make a little video for it, blogs have to have content too around Christmas time. Yeah. So it's good to reach out to them.
Yep.
And even if you're not submitting it to radio, if it's just something that you want to have for your shows, it's crazy how many people tour during Christmas time and have specific Christmas shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really great just for that as well.
So then saying all that, maybe India can give us an idea of who's releasing stuff this year and albums and singles and what the competition is like this year.
So as I mentioned, thank you, Amber.
You're welcome.
There is a new Leonis album. It's called Christmas with Love, and her single is called One More Night. And I really think that it's great. So I think that it will definitely be a huge hit.
Nice.
And then Kelly Clarkson just released her album Wrapped in Red. And her single, I haven't heard it yet, but it's called Underneath the Tree. But her album just came out 2 weeks ago, and it's already sold 70,000 copies.
In the States or Canada?
In the States.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, or maybe it's, I just saw that she posted that on Twitter, so I'm actually not sure.
It's probably the States if she posted
I would assume. I would assume that it would be the States, or combined, not just Canada.
Mm.
And then Mary J. Blige and Trace Adkins. Now, this is interesting, because Amber was talking about Christmas for Country. So Trace Adkins is doing a huge Christmas tour, but his album is Celtic inspired songs, and it's very traditional.
Trace Adkins.
Yeah.
Holy left field.
Yeah. So that will be completely.
That'll be interesting to see
what it's like.
To see if country radio will play.
Yeah, because I was looking up last year who had a country Christmas song. So there was a Blake Shelton Reba McEntire song, and Scotty McCreery, and there was another Blake Shelton with the Pistolannies Christmas song, and Lady Antebellum.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah. So there was a lot of Christmas last year for country.
And Jess Moskaluk.
I wonder if the Trace, like, just to go on a tangent, I wonder if the Trace is trying to catch up with the Mumford sort of more folksy trend that's going on everywhere else.
It's that, or he's an older dude. So I wonder if he's just like, Whatever. That's it. Yeah, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do.
I got drunk and suddenly everything was Celtic.
Like, or maybe for all we know, we're not, correct me if I'm wrong, but none of us are Trace Adkins experts. No, but no. Maybe 10 years ago he was a Celtic artist, for all we know. But
maybe.
I just feel like he's one of those guys that's just like, meh.
Let's do it.
Whatever. I'm going to do this. And
we should look into that.
But then the other thing, too, is that one of those songs could be straight up country and the rest are Celtic. So maybe they made the single and then the rest are like you never know. Like,
and I can't, when I tried to look up a single, it didn't mention one.
Interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't find any reference. I could only find references to the entire album. So it will definitely be interesting to see if anything's planned at all. Maybe not. Maybe they're just doing the album and he's doing this big tour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, is there any other, like,
big competitors this year?
Yeah, because remember last year was Justin Bieber, Michael Bublé, and they were...
And CeeLo and Christina had
there was, like, some huge pop stuff, so I wonder if those are still...
I feel like there are going to be lurking ones.
Yes.
Things that come up, because, you know, they don't need a Christmas whole album.
Yeah.
They just need a Christmas
song. Is Bieber dating Gomez, or did they break up again?
Right now, they're broken up.
Oh, because that would have been great. We need Bieber and Carly Rae.
Bieber did one with Mariah last year.
Was it Mariah?
Yeah.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Did a remake of one of her old ones.
Christmas.
Oh. But she just looked like a huge cougar in the video.
Oh, dear.
Cougar territory. She did. I'm telling the truth.
Merry Christmas. Now, you brought up an interesting idea of who should put out a Christmas song this year. I think that sounds fun.
Okay.
So
and what would it be called?
Yeah, well, who should have put out a Christmas song based on, say, this year? Artists who had songs this year, albums this year. Or that we would have liked to see have songs or albums.
Wait, can we make this a segment with, like, intro music? Are you ready?
Yes.
Which popular artist should have a Christmas single but doesn't? And what would it be called? With your host, Indy. Go.
So, for country, the first band that I thought of was Florida Georgia Line.
Oh.
So, their big single was called Cruise.
Cruise. And it was a crossover, because they had the pop version and the country version.
So, the equivalent of a cruise in winter would be a sleigh ride. So, it has to be something about a sleigh ride.
Sleigh ride a cowboy.
Florida Georgia Line. Florida Georgia, they have oranges, don't they? Isn't Florida like orange and Georgia peach?
Sleigh
so,
ride.
Some citrus sleigh ride of some sort. Maybe.
A sleigh ride through the orange tree field.
Sleigh ride through the orange tree field.
Oranges and sleigh rides. That's Christmassy. That's their new single.
Oranges and sleigh rides?
Yeah, featuring Nelly.
Featuring Nelly.
I like
it. Yep. Okay. Cool. Could we imagine if Robin Thicke had a Christmas single?
Blurred Lights.
Oh! Or Burnt Out Lights.
But Blurred Lights is about getting really, really drunk on Christmas Eve and seeing the blurred lights in the Christmas tree.
Yes.
Yeah. That's me every year.
Yeah. Featuring, gotta be someone different. Can't be Pharrell. Who had a big song this summer but isn't? Featuring Lord.
Lord was another one that I put.
Lord,
yeah.
Okay.
So Lord, if Lord had a Christmas single,
it would be kind of
Royals.
It would be kind of like high class.
An ironic Christmas song. So about the what's the word the. Material things, the
tangible.
No, the fake, the
superficial.
Superficialness of Christmas.
Superficialness of Christmas.
I
so
think the superficiality.
That's
very good.
New single.
So it would be called
or
superficiality.
Superficial Christmas.
Superficial Christmas, and the song would be about just everything would be plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The toys.
Yeah.
Christmas plastic.
Christmas plastic.
Plastic Christmas.
Plastic Christmas.
Plastic Christmas.
There we go.
I like it. Good.
Bruno.
Bruno.
Oh, Mars?
Yeah.
Oh, he's Hawaiian, isn't
okay.
he?
Okay, so what... Yeah, give us... Okay, what was his... Gimme. What's that one?
Treasure.
When he had all
Hawaiian.
The old, like, the...
I like the Hawaiian Christmas song.
The Hawaiian Christmas song.
Anything to say.
Right, yeah, there you go.
He could just cover that.
Christmas Day.
That would totally
Bruno
work.
Bruno Mars should totally cover that. Good idea. Done.
Done. Bruno, call us.
I want a percentage.
Yeah, we need a percentage of this.
Yeah.
And Sarah Bareilles.
Oh. She could have a song called "You Ripped Me Off, Katy Perry."
Sarah Brown.
And that would be the entire. That would be the song.
Brave.
And it would sound like "Hot and Cold" by Katy Perry.
Sarah Bareilles, Brave. I don't know a lot about Sarah.
Something Santa going, being brave, going down the chimney. Mm.
That's good.
I don't know.
The brave little
elf.
That brave little elf.
Sarah Bareilles, the brave little elf.
And the big one I thought was who should have one, Serena.
Serena Ryder. So she had Stompa.
Stompa on had your that, presents. What I wouldn't
stomp
do.
Stomp on your presents.
Stomp on your presents.
I don't know. Because I hate you.
In brackets, because I hate you.
Yeah, that might go with it. That sort of like brings in a bit of like anger.
Stomp
sass.
On
sass.
Angsty
sass.
Serena.
Sass.
For
featuring Sass Jordan.
Featuring Sass Jordan.
There you go.
There you go.
Stomp on your presents featuring Sass Jordan. All right. I think we have a Christmas album
there
on
we
the
go.
Way.
Glad we could give
all
of those
to be one of those whose
I
line is it anyways.
Yeah.
nice to know I'd fail miserably.
And when all of the artists have made this, get in touch with us and we'll release them on the Radio Dale podcast. Yeah. Are we done?
Yeah.
All right. Should we just do the outro now?
Sure.
Okay.
An intro, I guess.
Okay. So
I love how there's
outro.
A spider crawling on the battery.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So we'll just close off with the outro. This has been Radio Dale number 46. My name is Rue.
I'm India.
And I'm Amber.
You can find Dale Speaking online at dalespeaking.com, Twitter, Dale_speaking, and on Facebook at Dale Speaking. We're also on YouTube, Dale Speaking. I believe we have a Pinterest you don't look at. And you can contact us at RadioDale@dalespeaking.com. Any closing thoughts?
We hope you're getting into the holiday spirit.
We really do, because we are. I have my Christmas lights on at my desk. And don't hate on stations playing Christmas music, because it's very good for revenue. And
it's good for the soul.
The soul. Revenue and soul.
Revenue and the soul. You guys are such capitalists.
We're all about profit.
Profit. Ooh, she's doing the finger thing. So, I think that's good.
The Mr. Burns
fingers.
Yeah.
Yay!
He can't hear them. Not there, there.
I thought you were pointing at your stomach.
Okay. I was like, what are you talking about?
Seeking projectile vomiting. I am too. Okay.
Your turn, India.
No.
I'm
doing.
Like, welcome to the Disney Princess podcast.
Oh my gosh, I would love a Disney princess. Except